are listening to Last Word Soccer Club Radio. Only here, lastwordonsports.com.
What's up, Internet? My name is Matt Pollard, and you are listening to Last Word Soccer Club Radio, only here, lastwordonsoccer.com, powered by Last Word on Sports Incorporated and the Beautiful Game Network. Thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of Major League Soccer, the United Soccer League, U.S. Soccer, and a whole bunch of other countries that are taking part in the current 2018 World Cup over in Russia. Get your custom scarves for your group or your team at roughneckscarves.com. We've got a special interview pod for you today, folks. This week, Dan and I just couldn't make it work with our usual schedule, but I was able to record something a little bit midweek, and then we thought we were going to add some other stuff in, and it just didn't work out, but we still wanted to bring you that context. So here is my exclusive sit-down with James McCreath. He is a author and a big soccer fan, and he just came out with a book called Ronaldo, R-E-N-A-L-D-O, no affiliation with Cristiano Ronaldo from Portuguese national team Real Madrid. So he gets full title of the book, Ronaldo, A Tale of World Cup Soccer, Terrorism, and Love. James is a really great listen. And then also, he has a methodology for, American soccer fans or fans in general of the beautiful game whose nations did not make it to the World Cup, for helping them try and identify a team or find something to find some level of happiness, in the current tournament, despite the U.S. men's national team or whichever country you support not making the World Cup. In any case, here's my interview with James McCleath, the author of Ronaldo. Welcome back, listeners, to Last Word Soccer Club Radio, only here, lastwordonsoccer.com, powered by Last Word on Sports, the Beautiful Game Network, and Roughneck Scarves. My name, once again, is Matt Pollard, and I am joined now by special guest James McCreath, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Creath, sort of Scottish.
Creath, okay. And listeners, if you don't know James, James is a author. He just recently wrote Ronaldo, a tale of World Cup soccer, terrorism, and love. And he also has a couple of good cathartic methods for a lot of struggling USMNT and Canadian men's national team fans as we enter the first week of the podcast. So first of all, James, thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, except I'm very sad that the United States in particular isn't in the World Cup. Canada was only able to go once, 1986. We played three games, lost all three, didn't score any goals. I think FIFA has banned us from the World Cup from here on. And our women's team have done well. But back to the U.S. team, I'm so upset I joined the American Outlaws, the group that used to be Sam's Army and now travels around, and they're great fans. And maybe they needed more outlaws down in Trinidad and Tobago that night. They lost out, but it's very sad. Sad for everybody. Sad for the bars. Sad for the restaurants. Sad for the fans. Cause it's such a great party for a month. So we'll try. I've got a few ideas that might help you get into it a bit, and we'll see where that goes.
Excellent stuff, James. Let's start off by talking about your novel. I've gotten a few brief abbreviations of it. It was officially in stores as of June 5th, so a week ago today on recording. Is that correct?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I have not gotten a chance to go out and buy it, but it will definitely be on my summer reading list, since I've decided to not put money in Bruce Arena's pockets by purchasing the book that he just posted out, What's Wrong With Us, with the U and the S capitalized. So tell us a little bit about Ronaldo, and then particularly, you know, some of the things that might be relatable from a soccer standpoint, from a geopolitical standpoint, and maybe what inspired you to come up with this story.
Okay, so I've been watching World Cups, riveted to World Cups, for 50 years now, starting in 1966. I happened to be in Germany as an 18-year-old schoolboy the day that the English beat the Germans in an overtime goal that was disputed, and we had to run for our lives, and after that I was hooked. So I would watch all the World Cups. In 1978, there wasn't any live television when Argentina was hosting the World Cup, so I had to go to the local hockey arena. I'm from Toronto, Canada, so I'm a Canadian. That's why Matt's mentioning the Canadians. But What captivated me about the 1978 World Cup was what was going on in Argentina at the time. They had a military government. People were being arrested and murdered. And as a result of that, there was terrorism in the streets. It was a terrible place. Inflation was crazy. And they were almost going to take the World Cup away from Argentina, but they managed to hold it. And they won the World Cup, and it was really one of the most dramatic World Cup, probably the most dramatic World Cups I've ever seen. So I decided when I wanted to write a story about a World Cup, I focused on that one. And my story is basically about two brothers, one Ronaldo, the lead character in my play, is a young soccer prodigy trying to make the World Cup team. His brother, Lanfranco, is angry and vulnerable. He gets seduced into becoming a terrorist. So both brothers' lives run parallel to the story of the World Cup. They both fall in love with beautiful women. One, Lanfranco, is a terrorist that seduces him into being a terrorist himself. Ronaldo's is a rock diva, a lady that's very famous in Argentina. So it's a tale of World Cup soccer. It's a tale about terrorism. I radicalize the older brother, way before the word radicalized was used in our common language, unfortunately. And then it's a romantic novel too, because of the romance. So that's basically what it's about.
Excellent stuff, James. If you don't mind me asking, was this maybe inspired on any by any actual live accounts that maybe you encountered in your travels?
Well, I was in a soccer riot actually in Paris in 1975. I went to see the great German team Bayern Munich that was Franz Beckenbauer, Gerd Müller, and Uli Hoeneß, and I wanted to see them play, and they were playing in the Champions League final. It was called the European Cup back then. They're playing against Leeds United, so. I went to Paris, scalped a ticket from a Leeds fellow who was quite inebriated, sat in the end zone with 10,000 other Leeds players. Now, all the English clubs have firms. The hooligans call themselves by firms. So Leeds was the Leeds service crew. So I became friendly with the Leeds service crew until there was a disallowed Leeds goal, disallowed penalty kick that Leeds should have had. Byron scored two goals, Leeds lost 2-0, and they ran for my life. So there you go. That sort of got me again, how crazy soccer was. I'm so passionate about the sports. I wanted to, and what I did is I bought a VHS as soon as the 1978 tournament was available on videotape. And as I was writing the book, All the teams are the teams that were in the tournament. All the goals were scored at the same time, and all the scores are authentic. So I basically, the flow of play is, as I was sitting there watching the videotape as I was writing. And Ronaldo is basically a fella called Mario Kempes, who was the star of the Argentine. So I sort of transposed my players into the actual flow of the play. So what you're getting is an authentic World Cup experience. Exactly the way it is. It's just my players or my characters are playing the game.
Very, I'd say that's a very creative method of writing, I should say. And I think that probably leads to a very, very fun adventure on and off the pitch for the readers to take on. James, let's transition to the current iteration of the World Cup. As we're speaking, we're, you know, just under 48 hours away from the first game kicking off when Russia will be hosting Saudi Arabia. If I'm looking at the right schedule here, obviously the United States will not be involved, nor will the Canadian men's national team. And since we just mentioned Argentina, pending, I think Messi being the player of the tournament, he's going to have to single-handedly drag Argentina to any level of greatness. But in any case, there are lots of fans, lots of listeners on our end, on our side of the pond, James, all over the world whose national teams did not make it. Maybe they have heritage in other countries who did not make it. If you can see from my Skype picture, I have bright red hair, so I'm an Irishman by trade, you know, 3-4 generations out, and there's a little bit of Dutch on my mom's side, so I have neither the Orange Army nor Ireland to root for. So maybe to talk me through the some of the the cast of characters and the teams that maybe fans should be looking for to have a rooting interest and what sort of methodology they should have. And then maybe you can take me down that path to help me pick somebody to root for once the tournament kicks off.
Okay, well, the easiest thing if you're a gambler, you go by the odds, right? Las Vegas, the bookies are taking Germany and Brazil are 9-2, and it goes down from there, you know. So you can just go online and look at it. And if you want to lose some money, that's the best way to do it. Before I get into the genealogy of my method, I think it's a wide open tournament. I mean, Brazil's looking very good. As always, the Germans might be a little long in tooth. I don't know. And it's very hard to repeat. It's only been done a couple times as world champions. Okay. Personally, I live and die with the English, you know. And for the
I'm first, so sorry.
I don't mind. But for the – if they have a keeper, the English – the Achilles heel of the English footballers since 1966 has been their keeper. And if they have a good keeper, they might have a chance. Messi has to have a cast of characters that joins him in playing well. And Ronaldo, you know, for my money, he's the best player in the world right now. But again, he's got to have that cast of characters. I like the French a lot. That would be my pick, just because they're seasoned. They seem to be, playing very well. Another factor is they're playing in Russia. Okay, so how well will the South American and Central American teams travel? How long will it take them to acclimatize to the Russian way of life? I'm worried about the hooliganism in Russia. That is absolutely going to be a factor. There's a movie out on YouTube called The Russian Hooligan Army, which I've watched, which is very disturbing. So I like good offensive football. I like to look for particular players with style. Ladies, these guys are buff and they're cute. My wife fell in love with football when I took her to see Diego Maradona and that great Argentina team. They were warming up in Toronto for the 1994 World Cup where they played in the United States. And she couldn't even speak. All she could say is, look at those thighs. I mean, you know, so but if you want to pick the most handsome guy, the hottest guy, ladies, there, go for it. I'm not demeaning your soccer knowledge or something like that, but that's another methodology that we can talk about. So there's always surprises. Like if you can find Spain is my favorite World Cup final ever was the 2010 Spain and Holland. Just two different styles going right at it and the best goalie won. And that's another theory I have is that the best keeper will win the World Cup for you. Okay. So look for an exciting team. Follow an exciting team. Those of you basketball fans, I love March Madness and I fill in the bracket every year and I always lose big time. But you know, if you can get the flow of the games and fill it out and pick a team and follow it through, that's exciting. Whoever, watch a few games and see who you really like or who's that cutest player or who scored a good goal or like the Mohamed Salah from Egypt. I watched him play. Man, oh man, is he something. And he's got his own little shtick at there. You know, he does the Muslim thing and that's wonderful. And I think Liverpool has a song out about him that if he scores more goal, that screws a few more, I'll be a Muslim too or something like that. I mean, taking that very lightly, but you know, that's he's a character. So look for character players and go from there. So that's a number of different ways, I suppose, you can look at finding a player or a team to root for.
Excellent stuff, James. So I guess I've been going back and forth on how I wanted to go about things, and I came up with a list. I don't know if you're on Twitter, but in any case, on Twitter yesterday, I posted the five things that I would like most likely to happen. In no particular order, I'm not expecting any number of them to happen. And number one, just because I feel that he's been so maligned, and it's almost that there's a love-hate relationship between the Argentine national team players and, or between, Argentina fans and Messi because he went over at such a young age. So is he truly Argentine, or is he just an Argentine boy who grew up into a Spaniard? And I don't think he is as good as what he was in 2014. I don't think his cast is as good as what he has. But in any case, number one, I'd like to see Argentina win it all. Number two, I don't think that it will happen. I think they could get out of the group, but I don't think they'll do anything once they get out of the group. If they do, is I'd like to see Iceland top what they did in the Euros two summers ago, and maybe, you know, get to the round of 16, win a game, and then give one of the giants a really, really good sweat. You know, maybe take France to extra time, for example, would be really, really exciting. Number three, just because I'm originally from Los Angeles, California. I have a lot of Hispanic friends growing up, and most of them are originally from Mexico, so they have their various Mexican club teams. Obviously, they'll all be lining up behind El Tri when the tournament kicks off, but pretty much everybody has no one in that circle of friends that I have is neutral about El Clasico in La Liga. They are either a Real Madrid person, they are either a Barcelona person, or they like some other team and then hate both of them. So invariably, in some conversation that we're having when all of us are together for Thanksgiving or some other period, is somebody brings up and there's an immediate argument and nobody can agree who's better between Ronaldo and Messi. Okay, you know, Messi's had a better cast and he plays prettier football, but Ronaldo wins more trophies, Ronaldo's cocky, Messi doesn't, you know, isn't a good enough leader. All these sorts of things go back and forth, and I would love to just see Portugal and Argentina duke it out. I don't care who wins. I just want it to be epic so that once and for all, we can say which one of those two is better. Number three, as a ginger and as a player, I am not a Manchester City fan, but I admire Kevin De Bruyne as a player, and obviously he'll be taking on with the Red Devils, so to speak. Yeah. So I don't necessarily care whether or not Belgium wins. They're kind of the hipster pick by a lot of people who don't want to go with one of the usual suspects or one of the historical winners. And then my fifth is I just want to see a new champion. You know, you talked about it a little bit with, you know, the gambling bets, but it's a lot of the usual suspects. You know, in the, this will be the 22nd World Cup ever. In the previous 21, there's only been 13 different teams in the finals, and there's only been 7 countries to win it. And outside of Brazil and Argentina, there's been no other team not from the European continent that has won the World Cup before. So I think between what you were just saying to me and sort of my list of what I want to say, I kind of think that now I should be rooting for Belgium and I should have Kevin De Bruyne as a player of the tournament. How does that sound?
I love it. I love it. I'm totally with you on everything you said. The thing that Messi is fighting against that Ronaldo doesn't have is that he's always got to be going to be compared to Diego Maradona, who has hoisted that trophy, whereas Ronaldo has nobody else in Portugal that's hoisted the trophy in recent history. So that's I love Messi. I don't ever want to demean Iceland. I love them. They have the Viking clap that they do in the end zones. TFC does that, and I love that. I love them. I think Switzerland. I was just over there. My daughter lives in London, so I was over there skiing and met some Swiss guys. And the Swiss could surprise some people. They're tough, you know. And Brazil's up against them. So that's, I love the Mexican style of soccer. It's offensive. They're gorgeous ladies. You want a Latin guy? Come on, there's some young guys in there. They're hot, you know. Portugal Argentina would be the perfect World Cup final. I agree with you there. And I've always loved Belgium. They're like the Dutch. They just don't get there, you know. So De Bruyne is an excellent player too. So I'm 100% with your list. New champion, absolutely. I agree.
Excellent stuff, James. This comes to the end of our questions. James, thank you for joining us. Listeners, check out his book, Ronaldo, R-E-N-A-L-D-O, A Tale of World Cup Soccer, Terrorism, and Love. Jim, it is normally tradition that we give our guests the last word on each interview segment. So I'm not sure if you're on social media, if you want to plug that, any of your other work or anything else. The floor is yours. Use it however you choose.
Okay. Well, the reason I was going to just chat about is go to your genealogy. We all came from somewhere. Look at your ancestry. Keep going back. Like I am Italian and Scottish. Neither of those are in the team, but my grandmother, one was American, One was English. So there you go. I've got an English. So keep going back centuries if you have to, but somewhere in there, if you're from South America, go back in your genealogy, and that's the team you root for off the bat. There's got to be some team somewhere. You know, there are from all over the world. So pick a team through your genealogy. That's my last word.
I guess if nothing else, you know, originally the human species was originally from Africa. So I guess everybody get on the Mo Salah and the Nigerian bandwagon, I suppose. Listeners, James, again, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Matt.